Our text today comes from Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 6, and can be found on page 165 in the Old Testament section of your Pew Bible. This entire commandment that I command you today, you must diligently observe, so that you may live and increase and go in and occupy the land that the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember the long way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 days in the wilderness in order to humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. He humbled you by letting you hunger, then by feeding you with manna, with which neither you nor your ancestors were acquainted, in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The clothes on your back did not wear you out, and your feet did not swell these 40 years. Now then, in your heart, that as a parent disciplines a child, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Therefore, keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Would you pray with me this morning? Almighty God, we give you thanks and praise your name, for you are good, your steadfast love endures forever, and your faithfulness to all generations. Teach us from your word this morning, God. Speak to us, whatever may be clamoring and vying for our attention this morning, just remove those distractions so that we can be fully present to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, as Anna Faye was teaching the kids, we've sort of come on our journey here, and the people have left Egypt on their way to the promised land, and they are now in this wilderness wandering in between. You can kind of see on the map here, Egypt is there on the left-hand side. The land of Canaan is up on the upper right-hand side. And they're in this middle section, the Sinai Peninsula, and it's a very desert place. It's out in the wilderness. Somebody said that they spent 400 years as slaves in Egypt. It only took God 40 days to get them out of Egypt, but then it took God 40 years to get Egypt out of the people so that they were ready to go into the promised land. 40 years, an entire generation of being out in the wilderness. Now, you and I have been in that wilderness, maybe not that wilderness, but we understand this part of our story, of the story, because we've all been there, and if we haven't, we will be. The wilderness is that place where we have left something that was settled, something that was predictable, a season of life where we kind of knew what was going to happen from day to day, and all of a sudden that disappears. It's not there anymore. And we sort of are longing for some new normal to come our way, something that was better than the old, but that promised land, that new season, that new chapter, simply isn't in sight yet, or we simply don't know how in the world it's ever going to come to be. And we're in this, literally, this in-between place, this land in between, this wilderness place. And when you're in the wilderness, everything is uncertain. Everything is up for grabs. You don't quite know what tomorrow is going to bring, or if there even is going to be a tomorrow. And It is a place that is uncomfortable and difficult and challenging. Your parents get divorced. Now what? You know, everything was sort of running a particular way, and now mom's not there or dad's not there, and when am I going to see them, and how is this going to work? You're in that wilderness place. Or maybe you got divorced. Now what? How is this going to work out? What are we going to do? Never saw this coming. You go to college, 4 years, you go to class, you know what to expect, you graduate, and you have no job. So you go back home, and you're living in the basement, and you're doing the same job you did when you were a senior in high school. When is this going to end? Now that's a wilderness for the college student and for the parents who have them back there. It's like, when is this going to come to an end? We lose our jobs, or we hate our jobs, but we can't figure out how to get a new one, and so we're just in this dry place, this wilderness place. We're not able to make ends meet financially. Every month, we're spending more than we're bringing in, and the debt is getting higher, and we just are really uncertain. How do we get out of this place? What do I do now? Dealing with some chronic health problem, maybe for ourselves or for somebody we love who we have to take care of. Our parents get older, starting to deal with dementia, Alzheimer's, and we're the caregiver. How do I do this? What do I do now? How long is this going to last? We all understand the wilderness. We all understand this place in between. Things used to run smoothly, or at least we knew what to expect, and now everything's up for grabs. And we want to get to some new place, some place that's flowing with milk and honey, but we just can't quite figure out what to do. Nobody wants to be in this place, by the way. And yet we all find ourselves there. Nobody wants to be there, but we all go there. Or we're sent there. Or it comes to us. This may be the most important 40 years in the entire story. This wilderness wandering, this chapter out of our story this week, may be the most important chapter for God's people, and it may be the most important chapter for us. Because the fact of the matter is, friends, we need the wilderness. The wilderness is a training ground for the rest of our lives. There is something that only can happen in the wilderness. There's things that we can only discover about ourselves, about others, and about God in the wilderness. There's a lot to be learned about in the promised land, for sure. That's where we all want to be, and that's where ultimately God wants to take us. But if life is easy and good all the time, flowing with milk and honey, plenty of money, lots of friends, you know, life, there's something that just doesn't develop in our character the way that the wilderness brings things out. So I want to look with you a little bit about lessons from the wilderness, things that we can learn, I think, from our spiritual ancestors and from our own experiences as we find ourselves inevitably in those wilderness places, in those dry places. The first thing is what we learn about ourselves. Like I say, there's just something about our character that isn't fully developed until we go through the difficult, trying times of life. We don't really know who we are. Now, often when we find ourselves initially thrown into the wilderness or out into the wilderness, our first instinct is to complain. We complain about it. And that's okay, maybe for a season. How did this happen? Why did he do that? Why do they always keep saying this? I can't believe I got laid off. Or, you know, we complain. We're so disoriented and disruptive, we just are kind of lashing out. And we hear that as you read through the story, right? The people are constantly complaining, oh, we want to go back. Why can't things be the way they used to be? We start with complaining. You know, there are a lot of things that actually can grow in the wilderness, in the desert. You know, it looks like it's dry, but there's things, and complaining can grow, can really take root. And complaining, I guess, because it's such a natural response, it's okay if it only lasts for a season. The problem is if we get caught in a continual pattern of complaining and whining and wishing for something else. Because all that does is lead to bitterness. We become very bitter and resigned. We sort of give up. Depression sets in, and everything falls apart. And there are some people that end up in that place when they go into the wilderness. But there are other people who get through that season of complaint and they become creative. The wilderness forces us, if we're going to make it through, to become creative, to begin to do things differently. And rather than wishing things were the way they used to be or hoping for that day to come when all this is going to go away and someone's going to take it away, the wilderness, for those of us who are wise, is a place that forces us to become creative, resilient, and courageous. And it is extraordinary what can happen when we begin to look at things that way. God, what are you teaching me? You know, that's what our text says today, that the wilderness, God gave it as a place. Remember the long way the Lord God led you through those 40 years in the wilderness in order to humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart. These difficult seasons of life are often used by God as a way of testing what is in our heart and making something come in our heart that we didn't even know was there. A strength, a resilience, a courage, a creativity. Maybe we start our own business when we lose that job. Maybe we find a new way of being in relationship when the old one has come to an end. Maybe we find other resources out there that we didn't even know were available to us. We become creative. We try new things. We learn new patterns. And in so doing, we become strong. We become more beautiful. The wilderness refines us. The second lesson in the wilderness, it's not just what it teaches us, it's what it teaches us about other people. When you're in the promised land, or when life is unpredictable, we develop a lot of acquaintances. We go out and have coffee, we work out with people at the gym, we, you know, share a vacation with people. We have a lot of acquaintances. But when you're in the wilderness, you don't need a fair weather friend. You don't need an acquaintance. You don't need someone to say, how are you doing? And then who doesn't really listen to what you're saying. What you need in the wilderness are allies. And that's what we discover. We discover people who we can really count on. Other people who maybe have had their character tested the way that we have had. Not people that are maybe fun to have at a party, but people who are essential to have if we're going to make it through another day. The kind of friends we really want and we really need. But in order for that to happen, friend, one of the most important things that has to happen in our hearts when we're in the wilderness is that we learn the humility to ask for help. We become humble enough that we ask for help. You know, asking for help is one of the most difficult things for any of us to do, to admit that we have gotten to a point in our lives that is so difficult that we need help, that we can't figure this out on our own, that the problems that we're dealing with are so heavy and so profound that we need someone else to come alongside of us. Earlier in the book of Numbers, by the way, the book of Numbers, the Hebrew word for Numbers is in the wilderness. That's what that literally means, but we, in our English, we call it the book of Numbers because it's all about the census of the people and all of that. But back in the book of Numbers in chapter 11, here's Moses, the great leader, and he's complaining. Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servant so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive these people? Did I give birth to them that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a sucking child to the land that you promised on oath to your ancestors'? I am not able to carry this people alone. They are too heavy for me." They are too heavy. This is too heavy for me to carry. That, friend, may be the most important place you ever get to when you finally say, "I can't do this alone. I need help." A little bit later, Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 elders, 70 leaders of the people, and he placed them around the tent of meeting, the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and he spoke to him and took some of the spirit of leadership that was on Moses, and God put that spirit on the 70 elders. Moses suddenly had allies. He thought he was all alone. He thought he was the only one. But God brings 70 allies, 70 people who he gives a similar spirit of insight and wisdom and guidance, and he brings them alongside of him, and now Moses finds he has the strength to carry on, to make it through another day. But he had to get to a point where he said, "I can't carry this anymore." I don't know if you've ever gotten to that point in your life, but boy, is it a profound change when you start to ask for help and you see the people, the allies that God begins to bring into your life. Maybe somebody who's walked that path that you're walking now, who gives you that word of encouragement that you can do this, you can make it. Somebody who has resources that you didn't even know existed or can point you to a place. You know, that is one of the most powerful things about being part of a spiritual community, of a local church. The people who inhabit the pews of a local church are not all promised land people. There's a lot of joy and there's a lot of hope here for sure. But mostly the people I found who come to a church community are wilderness wanderers, who people who've been through tough things or are going through tough things. And they find, by coming into a community of faith, a resiliency from the other people who are also dealing with tough things, an honesty, a vulnerability, and people who can point you to places of refreshment and nourishment. Again and again and again, the people who've come into the life of this church are people who have actually been renewed in their spirits through these relationships because they've discovered allies and not just acquaintances. We discover about ourselves important things in the wilderness. We discover about other people important truths in the wilderness. But most importantly, the greatest lessons in the wilderness are the things we learn about God. God is no stranger to the people in the wilderness. The amazing thing about the wilderness stories is all the way that God is providing for them, even though they're not sure where they're going, how this is all going to work out. When they're thirsty, boom, water out of a rock. When they're hungry, boom, manna. What is it? That's what the word manna means. What is it? This stuff came down from heaven like a wafer, like a cracker every morning. Just enough for that day. Just enough for that day. Oh, we're sick of eating manna. Boom, quail, protein, meat. We don't know where to go. Boom, a pillar of fire at night, guiding them, cloud by day. Where are you, God? I've helped you build a tent, a tabernacle, so you'll know that I'm right there in our midst. God walked with the people every single step, every single day of those 40 years throughout the wilderness. God is no stranger to the wilderness. And when we learn to trust God when we're going through the wilderness times, our faith becomes powerful. And we begin to see all the ways that God is providing for us. One of the most famous pieces of scripture isn't scripture, but everybody knows it. The famous poem of the footprints, right? How many people know the footprints? How many have it hanging on their wall at home, on your refrigerator somewhere? It's not in the Bible, but it's so profound. The guy's walking along through the sand and said, look, there's two sets of footprints. I'm walking with God. Oops, my life got hard. There's only one set. God, why did you leave me? I didn't leave you. I was carrying you. I was there the whole time. There the whole time. We don't learn that kind of deep, complete reliance and trust upon God when we're in the promised land. Life's too easy, and we forget to say thank you. We think all our blessings are because of our own efforts, our own hard work, our own good looks, our own good whatever. But when you're in the wilderness, that's when you get to know how good God is. When you get that first sip of spring water coming out of a rock that you didn't even know was there. When you don't know what you're going to do the next day and you wake up and God provides you a meal just enough for that day. When God brings some sustenance into your life through a voice of a friend or an opportunity, and you just get the strength to put out one more resume, to make one more phone call. You know, it's remarkable in the prayer that we pray every week that we call the Lord's Prayer. Jesus asks us to pray to God, give us this day our daily bread, just bread for this day. You know, when we're in the promised land, we're making plans for next year. Where we're going to go on vacation next summer. Where we're going to live when we're going to retire. But when you're in the wilderness, you're not thinking about all of that. You're thinking about tomorrow. Can I get through tomorrow? Can I get up and do it one more day? Have one more difficult conversation. Make one more visit. And God provides us that daily bread, that manna, that water, that encouragement. And we walk with him and we get up and we do it again and we do it again and we become stronger and more courageous and we find new allies coming into our life and we develop this deep, deep trust with God. And friend, when you come out of the wilderness, you have been transformed. You are more powerful, more courageous, more resilient, more creative, and more faithful than you have ever been, and you would not have ever gotten there unless you had gone through the wilderness. Nobody wants to be in the wilderness. But there are things that you are going to find that we find there when we are there that we simply don't find anywhere else. Lord, thank you so much for these lessons. for your great faithfulness to us. God, I know some of my friends here today are in a really difficult season of their life. They are walking through some tough stuff. And I'm so glad that they're here. And God, I know that you're going to provide what they need to get through this day and tomorrow and the next day. God, help this community to be a resilient community, a place where we really become allies and not just acquaintances, to share resources and encouragement and wisdom that we've accumulated along the way. But God, help us mostly to be a community of deep, deep faith and trust as you stretch out your hand of providence to us in the wilderness. Amen.